Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to tell you guys about my experience. I generally don't really like going to NFL games, and the massive reason I don't go to NFL games is I feel like I just miss the rest of the league. Like, yesterday was the least amount of NFL I've watched on a Sunday in a very, very long time. I'm old, so I took a little bit of a nap during the 12 o'clock because I realized I got a busy night in front of me. You know, you're old when you start taking preparation naps. Like, when you start taking a nap to prepare to go outside to have fun, that's when you know you're starting to get old. So I took a little bit of a nap at around noon, woke up at 2, watched the remainder of the noon games. My friend came to pick me up around 3:15. We headed out to Arrowhead. Now, the last Chiefs game that I went to, Patrick Mahomes had not yet went to or won a Super Bowl. The last Chiefs game that I went to was the Chiefs and Texans game. The comeback game, the game that got down big, and you guys know the game I'm talking about. It's the last Chiefs game that I went to. I always get opportunities to go, but I just rather watch the game at home. I feel like it prepares me for the show more. I can take notes. I'm tweeting. I just feel like it's in my best interest to watch the game at home on television. Well, I got offered free tickets to the Chiefs game, and usually I give them to Rob. But Rob, he seemed real, I don't really want to go. I'm not going to beg you to go to the Chiefs game for free. If you don't want to go, that's fine. So he was like, no, you go. And I was like, you know what? I looked at the NFL slate, and I was like, you know, it's kind of weak this week. You know what? I'm going to go. I'm not going to get on press pass. I'm going to buy my own parking pass. I'm going to be a regular fan for the day. And let me tell you, I get it. It was a great time, a fantastic time. You guys over-discussed the parking situation. It really wasn't that bad. You don't have the little red parking pass. They then direct you on where to go. Now, I mean, you got to kind of make your own rules there. I mean, if you follow all the traffic rules and you follow the line, yeah, I can see why the parking experience is not that bad. But usually, you just find an empty spot in the grass and park your car there. My friend, we found an empty spot. He backed into it. Boom. Now we had a little ticket set up, a little tailgate set up. Shout out to Tickets for Less for hooking us up with the little VIP tailgate. Rob, let me tell you. Oh, they had a spread in there. They had a little open bar set up. You go up there. They had bags. They had like a little mini golf situation going on. They had the food. I don't know who catered the food, but let me tell you, A1, A+. I'm looking around. They had like some Bud Light tailgate. Rob, they had a band over there. I'm serious. You guys know what I'm talking about. I didn't know this. I didn't know that all of this existed out of the Chiefs game. It wasn't like this when I was coming up. They have bands. They had like a little party set up over there. I didn't know what was going on. I wanted to go over there. They didn't have nothing going on where I was. The one tailgate to our left, they had like a DJ and they had like a dance floor and they looked like they were having a fantastic time out there. That for a while, I experienced what it was like to be a Chiefs fan. I get it. It is a lot of fun. This job in some ways has detached me from fandom. I just don't go through the regular emotions that you guys go through. I think in order for me to do the job at the level at which I think that I do the job, I don't think I can be a fan the way that you guys can be a fan. It blinds you to things. I like to think that I'm not blinded by anything. I come here and just give you my honest, true opinion from watching them. I don't care if they win, lose. I just want the Chiefs to always be interesting. It's in my best interest for them to be interesting. That's what I usually root for. I mean, I want you guys to be happy. I mean, I want them to win, but if they don't win, I mean, I'll sleep okay. But for a while there, I went through all the emotions of being a Chiefs fan. I'm like looking around and I'm like, man, I get it. I get why you guys get out here and spend all day out here. This is a really good time. Now, I don't know why y'all do that when it's cold outside. I didn't understand that being out there. That still didn't make any sense to me. This only seemed fun because it was warm outside. It did not seem fun if it was cold outside. I don't know if I want to hear this woman sing Uptown Funk and it's 15 degrees outside. I got no interest in doing that. But Rob, it was A+. And then you walk around and you go from tailgate to tailgate and you see people that you know, and as people throwing the football, everybody just seems so generally happy. I was thinking to myself, man, all these times I've just given my tickets away to Rob. Why didn't I ever decide to come out here? So I made a vow to myself, you know what? I'm going to try to go to one Chiefs game a year. I need to experience this a little bit more. And then I saw the other side of being a Chiefs fan. Why do y'all just get on the internet and argue with the losing team after the game? It like snapped me back into reality. Like all the fun that I had just had for the last 3-4 hours. And then I get on my phone and then I see that you're now arguing with the Detroit Lions fan about missed calls in the game. It was like, oh yeah, this is why I'm not a fan. I don't want to be a fan. I don't want to do this. This sounds awful to me. Sounds terrible. Y'all do this after every game? Maybe that's part of the experience too. After every game, just getting on the internet and then arguing with random strangers about calls in the National Football League. I would just simply tell that fan base to be better and go live your life. I certainly wouldn't argue with a fan base that ain't never been to the Super Bowl before. That should be beneath you. I can understand if that was your rival. Like, you gotta, you know, gotta go back and forth with them. Like, I get why Kansas argues with Missouri, even though we've never been to a Final Four. Like, I get it. You know, they're rivals. You're not rivals with the Lions. Why am I even talking to you? You're beneath me, peasant. Get away from me. It really was. Is that what the tailgates are like? They got bands. I saw one, Rob, they had like a DJ set up. They were doing like choreographed dances and stuff out there. I was looking around. I felt like a visitor. I felt like an out of towner. All this stuff existed in my hometown and I just didn't go. I just didn't have any interest in doing this, Rob. I had no clue. I'm telling you, it was A+. It was fantastic.
I feel like the couple times I've been out there in the past couple of years, and I'm not claiming to go a bunch, but I've gone a couple times, more so than you. I go to my friend's tailgate and they have the setup, but I walk around the parking lot and I am in awe. You hear it about on television. You talked about it with fans. You see the videos on social media, people tailgating, the gates opening. And I think being a Kansas Cityan and it being such the norm, you kind of become numb to it. But they have Kansas City Chiefs fans and Kansas Cityans in general have taken tailgating and they've turned it into an art form, because even what you would call a quote rinky dink tailgate setup out there is probably light years better than any tailgate setup you'd see in, I don't know, Seattle or Houston. Like it is really, really impressive. And I assume you had this experience when you're walking around. The people are beyond kind. Like they are offering you food. You're like, no, I'm going to their tailgate. It is an incredible atmosphere. The parking lot at Arrowhead might be where all the Arrowhead mystique comes
from.
Yeah,
no, I'm telling you, it was fantastic. Someone on the text line says, Sita, how can you say this? You're still not experiencing the regular fan experience. Most people have to pay for their tickets and don't get a VIP spread and catering. That's the only way I want to go to the game then. I'm okay. I'm sorry. Call me what you want. If you're telling me I gotta pay to go to the game, I gotta pay to park, I gotta pay to eat, and I gotta pay to drink, I'll watch the game at home. I'm okay. I'm all right. It was fun. It ain't that fun. It wasn't that fun. I assure you, it wasn't that great. If you get it, if that's your thing, no, I understand. But no, I'm not into it that much. The way that I had it set up, oh, I could do that. I could do that once a year. You know what? I might go to the Monday Night Football game. I want to go back. I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me call the ticket fairy again. And you got two more of them? I'll go. It's $60 to park. That's the kind of hit me. Because I got the tickets, Rob. And I was like, hey, you got a parking pass? Nah, man. I'm sorry. I wish I had one. You know what? It's all good. I even thought you could like park across the street for like the 10, 20. I was like, wait, hold on. It's $60? Then I started like looking out and looking at all the cars, and I'm starting like adding my family. Like, wait, hold on. That car paid 60 and that car paid 60. Like all of these cars paid $60. It's like, oh man. And then they do this like 10, 12 times a year. They got a real racket going on over there at Arrowhead when it comes to the parking. They really do. They really honestly could just charge whatever they want. What's stopping them from charging whatever they want? What's stopping them tomorrow? Like, it's $100. What are you going to do? Where else are you going to go? What are your options?
They really got, I'm telling you, it was really an A-plus experience. It wasn't that bad getting in. It wasn't that bad getting out. They got certain kind of lanes blocked off. So you got to go one way so all the traffic flows in a certain direction. It was really an A-plus experience. Would I get why people from out of town would come to Arrowhead to go to the game? I really do understand it a lot better after going again. It was like having my first time all over again. Like, I went a lot as a kid, but I'm telling you, when you do this job, certain things, it's like if you worked at an ice cream factory. You just eat ice cream all the time. It's not as special anymore. So I've lost. I wish I didn't lose it, but I lost it. But I got it back yesterday, and then when I got back on my phone, it was gone again. I was like, oh, yeah, this is what it's like to be a fan. No thanks. I don't have any interest in arguing with Lions fan 71 about a call in the second quarter of the game. No thanks. A-plus. I'm serious. It was great. If you haven't been to a Chiefs game in a while, I want you to experience what I experienced. I want you to go to a Chiefs game. I want you to go to Sunday's Chiefs game. I want you to go. I'll even help you with tickets. I'll help you. I mean, you got to pay, but I mean, I'll help you a little bit. I'll put in a call and I maybe can get you a little something off. 5% or something. You know, I'll get you a little something. All right, coming up on the other side, it's time for me to take a victory lap about something. I've been quiet about it for 2 weeks. No one wants to acknowledge that I was right about something, but we'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You
know
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone asked where my tickets were for the game yesterday. I was in 107. I think it was like row 21 or something. I mean, they were great seats. I really had a great time at the Chiefs game. It was a very, very fun experience. Again, 10 out of 10. Would advise. I would encourage you to go to a Chiefs game if it's been a while since you've been out there. It was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. I want to spend, I don't know, maybe the next 5 to 7 minutes accepting your apologies about something. I have been the only person in Kansas City defending Matt Nagy. It is a lonely place. You guys don't see the text that I get on a day in, day out basis, but you guys have been very mean to me about Matt Nagy for me standing alongside him. I remember there was a time you guys used to hate Eric Bieniemy and wanted Eric Bieniemy out of here. And then somehow he became the example of what discipline was and accountability. And you'd longed for the days of Eric Bieniemy. It was weird. It was real weird there for a while. What did I say? Text line 913-586-7965.
I mean, they were so much better under Eric Bieniemy
because they had prime Tyreek Hill and prime Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. Yes, they were better offensively when they had those guys. And in the very beginning of the season, when everybody was mad about play calling and everybody was mad about the offense, what did I keep saying? Explosive plays come from explosive players. They didn't have any. Well, what about, no, he's a role player. What you need is star players. You didn't have them for a while. Well, you got one of your star players back. And I mean, what do you know? Having a truly explosive, game-changing player has opened things up for everybody else. Since Xavier Worthy has gotten back on the field, he has touched the ball 17 times. He has 200 yards in the 17 times that he touches the ball. He's averaging almost 12 yards every time. When you give the ball to Xavier Worthy, he gets a first down. You don't see how that's opened things up for everybody else? how much easier the game now is for Tyquan Thornton, how easier the game now is for Hollywood Brown, now that you've slid them over into their proper and correct role, how it's opened up the run game, how the Chiefs maybe corrected it, and I do think it was a little bit of stubborn. They are starting to run the ball from under center a lot more than they were in the early portion of the season. I understand why people were frustrated with the offense, but you gave Matt Nagy minimal pieces. You gave this offense minimal pieces and said, go paint a masterpiece. That ain't how it works. Now that you've given them a true dog to game plan and scheme around, their offense is night and day by just adding one person to their offense. And get this, Rashee Rice is going to practice in 2 days for this team. So you're going to have two of those offensive pieces, two of those big dogs. We finally got here. It took us a year and a half. But the offense that you envision them having when everybody was healthy, they are going to have that on Sunday against the Raiders. You're going to have Rashee Rice. You're going to have Xavier Worthy. You're going to have Hollywood and Juju and Tyquan Thornton and Kelsey and Noah Gray and Breshad Smith. And all of you finally have given them weapons and pieces. And shocking, the more offensive players that you think are productive and can help, the better their offense is. Those same plays that they were calling, they still call those plays now. They're just giving them to better players. I was the only one saying this. It seems so obvious, but no, I get it. The easiest thing to be mad at in sports is the offensive coordinator. He's the easiest person. Oh, I hate that play call. Call it for a better player. That's what you're doing with Xavier Worthy. He's averaging a first down every time he touches the ball. They did not have that in the first 3 weeks of the season. That's why their offense looked like that. Now you've added somebody that defenses really have to game plan for, really have to worry about, and shockingly, the offense has returned. Scheme is great. We all want, sometimes you got to have dogs. They got a dog now on their offense. They're getting an even bigger dog coming up in Sunday's matchup. I want you guys right now, I don't care where you are. If you're in your car, I want you to pull over right now. If you're at work right now, I want you to stop what you're doing and I want you to apologize. I want you to tweet the Chiefs, at Chiefs, I'm sorry. You ain't got to tell them why. They'll know. I want you right now on your phone, I want you to do that. I want you to go on the Chiefs Facebook page and I want you to say I'm sorry. Because the way that you guys have treated Matt Nagy and talked about Matt Nagy for the last couple of months, I was his only friend, the only one standing with him. Pat right now playing at MVP level, offense humming right now. I bet he ain't gonna get no credit. Nobody has anything to say. No. Matt, I stood with you. I was the only person. I was the only person right now that was willing to stand by you, hand in hand. That's it. Thank you. That's all I needed. I don't need anything else. I don't need credit for anything else other than I was the only one right about Matt Nagy. The only one.
Listen,
Here you go. About to start hating. I know you.
I largely agree with you, but let me just play devil's advocate for the sake of playing devil's advocate. Just because it's possible what I'm about to say is true. Is it possible that his offense looks better? Not because of dogs, but because the three games where people have said, oh man, the offense is back, were against three teams he should be doing that against. Like, the Ravens stink. Like, that's the worst defense made in the NFL, and I've seen the Cowboys' defense. Made the Cowboys worse. They lost the Panthers.
I just saw the Rams' offense go against the Ravens. They scored 17 points yesterday.
And the Lions' secondary was me, you, Speck, and Cody, because their starting safeties were battered and bruised. One of them was looking to fight more than play football. Their corners were first-team IR, and they also just did this to the Jags, who, outside of turnovers, their defense is a little fraudulent because the Seahawks move the ball with ease against them. I'm not saying you're wrong, and it's very possible that people like myself were too hard on Matt Nagy. It's also possible you're a little early to take your victory lap, and some of the successes of the offense could be being propped up by they are doing it against 0-3 level Chiefs defenses.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to do the exact same thing to the Raiders.
I think Which I would say is also in that vein of bad.
Yeah, but I think now we're doing the schedule game. Now we're doing the schedule game with defenses. They're going out there and they're punishing people on offense. They weren't doing that last year with the same pieces, largely. Oh, I guess they added Tyquan Thornton. They were not doing this last year. So no, I'm not doing this. Someone on the text line, the problem with Nagy is there was no player development. So by your definition, he can only coach when he has the most optimal players. We would call Tyquan Thornton the most optimal player? They haven't developed Tyquan Thornton. They developed Rashee Rice. Did they not? They didn't develop Xavier Worthy as the season progressed. Kingsley Suamataia, he's not better. What are we talking about? I see player development all across their offense right now. Kingsley Suamataia was fired from his old job. They moved him to another position. They've coached him up. I mean, somebody gets credit for that, right? Maybe you're not giving it to Matt. I say they coached him up. Tyquan Thornton did not work for his last team. He got fired in the middle of the season. He was on the practice squad for the Chiefs. Anybody could have picked up Tyquan Thornton. They've turned him into a valuable wide receiver. That's not player development. Matt Nagy absolutely gets credit for those things. If that's what you want to give it, if that's what you want to consider it player development. I don't think the Chiefs don't have the best wide receiver room. They just got capable wide receivers finally. They didn't have that before. Tyquan Thornton is better than any wide receiver they had on last year's team that wasn't named Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice. Better than anyone they had last year. I mean, they didn't have Hollywood Brown for basically the entire regular season last year. You didn't have guys. You got guys now. Explosive plays come from explosive players. And I feel like there was an expectation for the Chiefs offense to be a certain way despite not having any of the things or pieces in order to do it. Now, look at it. They've invested money into their offensive line. It works now. It's helped the offense. They've hit on some wide receivers. They found a diamond in the rough. Shocking, the deep passing game. It works now. You got more playmakers, more weapons. You can attack the defense from multiple different positions. That's how you do it. So, yes, I'm giving Matt Nagy credit for this. That's it. I want you guys to just give him credit. That's it. I want you guys to give Matt Nagy a little bit of credit. Someone says, do the Chiefs need any more pieces? I mean, I would still go get a running back if I'm the Chiefs, but I don't think you need to go get Breece Hall. I mean, I never thought you needed Breece Hall anyway, but I'm still perfectly fine with them going to go get another running back. I still think they're in a position that if an injury happens in that running back room, they're scrambling. And based on how football works, I wouldn't plan on having all three running backs stay healthy from now until February. So I would always be in the market to go get another running back for this team. But, I mean, I know he's hurt now. They didn't need Tyreek Hill. I know it doesn't matter anymore. But I would not be advocating for them to go get Tyreek Hill right now, not with the pieces that they have. They still could use another running back. That's it. Their offensive line is fine. Their wide receiver room is fine right now. I mean, they're okay at running the football. I mean, they ain't great at running the football, but they're fine for the time being. That's the only thing I could possibly add to this offense at this point.
Like I said, I largely agree. I'm going to wait for a larger sample size before I say, see, it wasn't just all Matt Nagy, it was all the pieces. Because when the text line makes this point, it's a very good point by the text line and one that I have made on this show before. In 2022, Patrick Mahomes was the MVP. He had a great year from Travis Kelce, and then he had Juju and MVS and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and a bunch of, you know, Jags. And then in 2023, Matt Nagy showed up. He was not the MVP. He had largely the same pieces and was worse statistically. And then last year, with better pieces in 2023, was not great again statistically. So I'm going to wait a little bit before I let you take a victory lap on Matt Nagy and it being all just talent and not coaching. I'm going to wait just a little bit, but the sample size and the way things are trending is you were right, but I need more data points is my only point pushback.
I'm with you. Someone on the text line says, Sita, how can you say that about Tyquan Thornton? He only played 4 games last season. I mean, he was drafted in the second round and the team cut him in the middle of his second season. The team cut him. Just, we don't want him. He was on the Chiefs practice squad. Anybody could have picked up Tyquan Thornton last year. Anybody could have picked him up. They then let it expire. The Chiefs then signed him to a 1-year, $1 million deal. Nobody in the league wanted Tyquan Thornton. Nobody. And the Chiefs got him, and look what they've turned him into. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you wanted the Chiefs to go get J.K. Dobbins. He's trash. I mean, I guess. I mean, if we're talking about the running back who's averaging 5 yards a carry for the Broncos, yeah, he's trash. He's been terrible so far this season. He's been awful. I mean, I don't know how the Chiefs certainly couldn't use a running back who's averaging 4.9 yards per carry this year. They have no room for that player. There's no room in the inn for J.K. Dobbins this year on the Chiefs, while Elijah Mitchell is MIA right now. We have no clue where Elijah Mitchell is. All right, let's move on from running backs. I wanted to take the time to pat myself on the back because I feel like I was right about Matt Nagy, but it's okay. If you guys don't want to admit it, that's perfectly fine. Rob, I do want to talk about this Joshua Simmons thing. Am I the only one that feels, I don't know, something's going on. I don't know what it is that could be potentially going on, but the wording around it, to me, just sounds a little funny. So for those of you that missed a tweet yesterday, so we find out that Joshua Simmons is out for personal reasons. I don't know what those personal reasons are. You don't really have to explain to us what the personal reasons are. It's perfectly fine. I don't know if it's a death in the family. I don't know if you're having a kid. I don't know. Again, it's not my business. And I imagine at some point they will tell us what happened with Joshua Simmons because that's also how the NFL works. So that was the original. We all found out at the same time that Joshua Simmons wasn't going to play. That's not the story to me. That's not the news. It was the follow-up tweet. And the follow-up tweet was essentially that it was some confusion because everybody in the front office wasn't made aware of this. I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading this, I mean, there's only three people that need to know originally. And I'm guessing if those three people know about it, they then communicate that to everybody else. The only three people that need to know, whatever the personal reason is, Clark Hunt, he's the one that signs the checks. Brett Veach, he's in charge of player management, control, all of those things, and the head coach of the team. I don't think that Josh Simmons needs to go up to Andy Heck and communicate that, or Matt Nagy. I think that Josh Simmons needs to tell one of those three people what it is, and then one of those three people communicates with the other two people, and everybody is on the same page. I don't think that happened. Because the fact that they would include that when there was really no reason to, oh, there's some confusion inside the Chiefs front office on where Josh Simmons is or what happened, makes me feel like something happened. Either he said he was supposed to come back at a certain time and he didn't come back at a certain time, or he communicated real late that I'm not going to play in the game and they kind of have a protocol that needs to happen. But I do think it was pretty noticeable that this was included in the reporting of this, because that's usually not how we talk about players that are going to miss games. It's not an injury, not a suspension, at least not to our understanding. It sounds like something happened, and it just doesn't sound like Josh Simmons went through the proper protocol in terms of notifying his employers on what was the plan and what was happening.
It feels odd. And again, maybe we'll find out the personal reasons. I bet we do. And maybe it's something happened in his life and it happened very fast and he didn't have time to communicate and he's had to go take care of business. I do not want to speculate on what is happening in his life. I hope everything's okay. But the phrasing there is odd, that someone was a little left out of the loop. And I would say from post-game quotes last night and from listening to Andy Reid today, it wouldn't shock me if Andy Reid was the one out of the loop, because he doesn't seem, either he's intentionally not talking about it because personal reasons, and that's fine, or he's finding out about the same timeline we are.
I know, but I guess I'm saying is I'm fine if you don't tell Andy Reid this. Like, I'm fine. I'm saying is if you're Josh Simmons and you go to the owner, hey, I need to talk to you. Hey, you know what? This is happening. I'm not going to be able to be here. And then you go. I then think it's Clark Hunt's job to then notify the people, hey, this is the conversation that I had with so-and-so.
This is what me and you disagree.
It doesn't sound like that happened with anybody. That's what I'm saying. I think you got to talk to any of those three people. I think if you go to Brett Veach and you tell him that you're not going to be here for this reason, Veach and Reid got a relationship that you were going to talk to these people and communicate what happens. So there was some breakdown and some communication at some point. You didn't talk to the people that you needed to talk to and you just was off doing your own thing.
Let me ask you this. So you have all three of those people in the hierarchy at the same level, because I would say for a game day situation, not an off the field situation, not a hey, it's July and I'm at a party and something bad happened. I'm talking about I might miss a game October 12th. I don't think you can skip the line. I think there's one person you tell.
You gotta go
person,
to Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. For a game, Andy Reid's the person. Because if Brett Veach sitting in the box being like, wait a second, where's Josh Simmons? If Clark Hunt is walking around, you know, talking to fans and finds out about Josh Simmons, obviously not great. But if Andy knows, you're good. Because then Andy, well, I saw in the kingdom, they had that little powwow after games. If he says, hey, Josh came to me, blank thing is happening in his life. He had to go. We knew about it. We were prepared. I started focusing on coaching my team. I couldn't tell you guys. I'm sorry. That's life. Like, that's how it should work to me. The coach should know. Based on Andy's postgame, you know, and his press conference today, it didn't sound like he was the one who was in the know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a very, very fair stance. The Chiefs are being understandably mum's the word about it. I don't know what the personal issue is. I have absolutely no clue what the personal issue is. But if it's a personal issue, if you can decide when you want to share your personal issue with the rest of us. Maybe we find out. I'm just going to guess we find out because it's the National Football League and people talk. And eventually, I think either at some point, I think either Josh Simmons tells us or somebody reports the personal issue. Like, that's just how this works. Now you got people trying to figure out what that thing is. So we will all probably find out in real time. I guess I would now communicate to Josh Simmons as a young guy, and I get it. We've all been in this situation. I would call Andy. I would just call him. I'd call Brett. I'd call Clark. And I just make sure you're a young guy. These things happen. I would just make sure that you are on the same page with them. They don't need to be on your page. You need to be on the same page as those three individuals. And as long as you're on their page, I think for the most part, you are going to be okay. Rob, can we take a small detour away from football? I promise you we'll come back here. We got Mitch Holtz is coming up in about 20 minutes. So I don't want you guys to panic that I want to talk something non-football for just a little bit. Rob, did you know that Long John Silver's was still around? Is there one in the city? I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, right now in the Kansas City metropolitan area, is there a Long John Silver's restaurant? Because I don't know where one is, and I have not seen one before. But they are making some changes at Long John Silver's that I wanted to play for you.
Well, Long John Silver's is making an unexpected logo change.
I mean, honestly, I didn't know that there were still Long John Silver's around, but the chain is known for its fried fish platters, but it's now swimming in a different direction. That new logo swaps its fish for a chicken and adds the text chicken plus seafood. A Long John Silver's executive says their chicken strips, known as chicken planks, are just as good as their fish, and it's time to let the secret out. The company says the move builds on successful testing of new chicken products at its flagship restaurant in Louisville, but seafood will remain the brand's cornerstone.
I have so many questions. Like a multitude of questions. Where is Long John Silver's? People still eat at Long John Silver's. People are getting seafood from Long John Silver's. People are getting chicken. I'm so confused. Rob, when's the last time you ate at Long John Silver's?
15, 20 years ago, maybe. I was probably 10, somewhere between 10 and 15 years old. So, yeah. 10, 15 years ago, somewhere in that window?
You would get there? I'm saying it's like when you were coming into work and you're hungry. Like, people are telling me there's one close to the station. I have no clue where this is. You're telling me that in 2025, you know, fast food places, they're not ever just by themselves. There's normally a cluster. There's normally a lot of fast food places all at one place. There's a lot in one spot. You drive past all of those to go to Long John Silver? Now, you drove past Chick-fil-A, you drove past Whataburger, you drove past Chipotle, you drove past all of these places, and you just stopped. Like, right now, the text line is telling me about some of the things that they've ordered from the menu. How do you know this? Like, what led you in life to go to Long John Silver and get the fish tacos? I want to interview that person. I want you to come on the show Wednesday at 3:15. Hey, Pat, you know what? We have more important people to talk to. I want to talk to the person that is ordering the fish tacos from Long John Silver. I want to talk to the person that is ordering the chicken planks from Long John Silver. I just want to find out more about you. You might be the most interesting human being that I've ever come across. I can't imagine doing this. I'm serious.
I have no interest in Long John Silver's.
Because, like, the text line is saying you're asleep on Long John Silver. Comatose. I don't want to be awake on Long John Silver. I don't want to go. If I was riding the car with you and I tell you I'm hungry and then you ask, like, I don't know, you pick, and you suggest Long John Silver, it's the last time you and I have a conversation.
Can you imagine being on a road trip and you're like, hey, let's stop off for some food? Oh, there's a Long John Silver's the next exit. No, we're not. I don't want to eat this in the car. What is... I had no idea our listeners were the foremost experts on Long John Silver's.
I can't imagine that because I don't want to be friends with that person. If you're telling me that right now we're on a straight shot, we're on a road trip, and you're about to get off the highway, and when you see the signs that tell you, like, turn left, turn right, and this is where all the food is, and the one that you're going to is the Long John Silver, this is the end. Now you got the car smelling like cod. What's going on now? That's too much. It's too much. Somebody said, how can you say that when you like Red Lobster? Okay, see what I mean? We try to do these topics, and then you guys get disrespectful. The next person that disrespect Red Lobster on this text line is getting blocked. This is The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, somebody on the text line called me an Uncle Tom during the commercial break, and that didn't really upset me. It's like, whatever, just the game's the game. I'm more mad at the person that said I was acting like Brian Branch. I mean, come on now. We were having a little fun about Long John Silver. You got to say I'm acting like Brian Branch? Why did you take it that far? That's unacceptable. Brian Branch said he was tired of being bullied. He's an NFL player. Maybe I shouldn't laugh at that. That's hilarious to me. He said he fought back because he's tired of being bullied. Bro, you play on defense. Why didn't you do anything about this during the game? There's plenty of opportunities if you feel like you're being picked on as a defensive player. There's plenty of things you could have done during the game. You decided to take a swing after you lost to Juju Smith-Schuster? Sucker move by Brian Branch. Major sucker energy.
In between the play, and refs don't catch it. They're like, they be trying to bully me out there. Should have never did it. We beat ourselves, honestly.
What happened between the play? What are you referring to?
I got blocked in the back illegally, and it was running the ref. The ref didn't do anything, and just stuff like that. And I could have got hurt off of that, but I still shouldn't have done that. So
I'm telling you, I don't know why we can't just get back to old school fisticuffs between wide receiver and DB like the good old days. I mean, like Deion Sanders, Andre Rison in the middle of the field. Why can't we just solve the issues that way? You got to wait until the game is over, when the guy has his guard down, when the quarterback is trying to shake your hand. Like, it's over. Like, everybody, now it's time for the, you know, now it's time for the hugs and we appreciate you. And now it's time to exchange jerseys. Now you want to fight? Have you guys gone through Brian Branch's, I guess, history? Brian Branch, he has been fined 13 times since last year. Now, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I looked up how tall Brian Branch was just because if he was a certain height, it would have made a lot of sense to me. Why are you just so angry? Like, I kind of get I get why Tyrann Mathieu is kind of wired the way that Tyrann Mathieu is. He's just a little guy. He's just a smaller guy. Most of the angry people that you know, they're like 5'8". Like, I get it. I get why you're so angry. It all makes sense to me. If I grew up needing a step stool in order to get a glass so I could have something to drink, I would understand why I would be mad as an adult. That would all make sense to me. I get it. So I looked it up with Brian Branch because I was thinking, oh, he's got to be a little guy. This is why you act like this. This is why you're so angry all the time. This is why you feel bullied. because you probably were. He's 6 foot. I mean, that's not, you're not a little guy if you're 6 foot. He's been fined 13 times. Rob, I'm just sitting here looking at it. I mean, basically once a week. Horse collar, helmet to helmet, another helmet to helmet, impermissible use of the helmet. I mean, just so far in his career, Rob, he's been fined $130,000. You're obviously about to get another fine. You started a fight. The game was over. You went up and you punched another player. Yes, you're getting another fine. I think he's getting suspended. I think he has to be suspended. Like, if you want to talk about player safety and sending a message and that this will not be tolerated, and the league is the one, I don't know if they're emphasizing this anymore, but the league is the one that was really talking about sportsmanship. Remember that when they were trying to, we want these guys to be better sports. I can't think of a worse sport than when the game is over, the other team is trying to shake your hand, dap you up for the game, and you take a swing at one of the players. That's the worst form of sportsmanship I've ever seen. So he's got to be suspended. I'm sorry. You can't have me take all of these things seriously if you don't suspend Brian Branch. It's not real if he doesn't get suspended. At the end of the game, he went up and he punched another player because he was mad that they lost. That's why. And he was mad that the other team was too physical with them in the game. They were too tough. They were horsing around. Why didn't you do something during the game then? You play defense. Why didn't you just have a big block against Juju Smith-Schuster? When he's coming across the middle, why didn't you just hit him? Isn't that how you're supposed to solve conflict if you're a football player? You get the opportunity legally to go up and just punish somebody. You gotta take a swing after the game? Sucker move. I'm sorry, I can't support this. You know it's bad when the other team's coach apologizes. Think about that. How often in professional sports? Because this happens in college sometimes. You know, we see fights. It's like, oh, I want to apologize to UC University. You know, we're better than that. We're above that. When was the last time that you saw a coach of an opposing team go out of his way to specifically apologize to the other team and other team's individual players? They always handle that stuff in-house. The fact that Dan Campbell did that in front of everybody should tell you everything you need to know. Completely out of bounds from Brian Branch. He cannot play next week against Tampa Bay. They have to suspend him.
I mean, if they don't suspend him, I think it's, I don't want to say a black eye on the league. That's too harsh. But you can't spend the first 2 weeks of the season getting all these taunting penalties out of your system. You can't tell me the big emphasis this year was sportsmanship. You can't spend the offseason pushing a sportsmanship initiative in the league, and then a dude who's about to shake someone's hand punches him in the face, leading to, I don't want to say a melee, but a scuffle broke out, and then everyone and their grandmother, Dan Campbell, Patrick Mahomes, Juju Smith-Schuster, Andy Reid, everyone is like, yeah, it was Brian Branch's fault. It wasn't like, hey, two guys started swinging on each other. It was all Brian Branch. You have to suspend him. Maybe not like 6 games, but he can't play against the Bucs. He can't. And I know Jeff this morning was on Get Up saying expect significant fines. The fine better be something like significant. This better not be some 50K, same as, you know, regular taunting. This needs to be punitive.
This basically needs to be treated like Jalen Carter at the very beginning of the season,
except for the real suspension, not whatever Carter got.
Yeah, but Carter didn't play in the game. Brian Branch finished the game and then did this at the end of it. Now, I'm not equating what he did to the same as spitting in his face, but the same way that they handled the Jalen Carter incident, that's how this should be handled. He needs to have a game check removed and he needs to not play in the next upcoming game. So the fact that he played in one, we can't go back. We can't retroactively kick you out of the game. We're kicking you out of the next game because that's what would have happened if you had done this while the game was going on. Let's say if a sack had happened and Patrick Mahomes did the exact same thing to Brian Branch, and then Brian Branch then walked over and then hit Juju Smith-Schuster the way that he did during the game, that player would have been ejected. So he needs to be ejected from the next game and then take a game check away. And this cannot be tolerated. I'm telling you, it was one of the biggest sucker moves I've seen this season. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Mitch Holt, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. So drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.